You know, what do you say to everyone else that wants to follow their dreams? You're 46 years old.
Yeah.
He doesn't sugarcoat it like a lot of people do, like, follow your dreams. You can be just like me.
Never stop.
Right. He goes, follow your dreams. You might not get here, but when you grow old, you'll say you did everything you could. You have no regrets. Aww. It's very, very nice.
We bend your ear. Stories about us.
Stories about you.
Huck Finn, Peter Rabbit.
This is Earbender.
Oh, yeah. Earbender.
I'm your host, Alexi. Welcome to Earbender. Hey! This episode has everything. We talk about a couple, Ryan and Leanne, that you could help us make the call if they should actually be right for each other or wrong for each other. Also, a regular citizen like you and me, just this last week it happened, got his dreams fulfilled. Like, he got to be like his favorite celebrity. The whole nation was behind him. I can't wait to tell you about it.
Ooh.
It's pretty wonderful. But first, the lady that needs no introduction. But today, she's going to debut her acting chops right here on this very show. Your friend, my wife,
thank you.
Hey, Bob, have you ever gone the extra mile to have a second date with someone? Or did someone ever beg you into like one more date or anything like that?
No, but when we had our dating episode, I talked about one first date that turned into multiple dates and you were blown away. Like, why would you ever see this person again? But there was no like begging requests, persuading on the other side. It was like, okay.
And you never like say to somebody like, come on, second date, let's do it. No?
No, I guess not.
And you didn't have to do it with me because I was calling you right away.
I shot my shot a couple times on a first date.
No, I'm talking about second dates.
No, not me.
Okay, so are you ready to see what the algorithm brought us?
Oh, yeah, let's jump in.
It's going to talk about this particular scenario.
Okay, let's jump into it.
Since robots choose what I see, let's see what the algorithm brought to me.
This is Let's See What the Algorithm Brought Me. It's the part of the show where we spin a fake wheel and talk about anything from movies to YouTubes, from TikToks to music to Instagram ads. Can you spin the wheel, Bob, as though it goes squee-bop, squee-bop, squee-bop?
Do you just have like an ad lib book of ways to make me embarrass myself?
Hey, episode like 34, 35, you had your chance. You lost it. This is what we're doing from now on.
What was my chance?
To come up with something new.
Oh.
And then it didn't happen, so I fill in those blanks.
Lesson learned. Too late. All right. So, I'm sorry. Squeebop?
Yes, please.
Is that what's my character's motivation? Let's do some warm-ups. Me, 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 me.
Oh, jeez.
Squeebop, 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 bop, bop, bop. Second date update with Ryan and Leanne.
Yes. This comes from a morning show called Hawkeye in the Morning. This is a show, it's in Texas, actually.
Like a radio show?
Yeah, exactly. This is a show for someone who got a good first date, but no second date. So the radio show reaches out on behalf of them to see what went wrong.
I think there's something like this here in Chicago. I mean, I don't know if it's Chicago people specifically, but
there are infinite of these throughout the United States. This one just catches my eye on TikTok, and so we're jumping on in on it. So Ryan is the one who calls up, and then we find out about how he got in touch with Leanne.
Okay.
Dating is different right now. I never used Tinder. Did you ever use Tinder?
I didn't, no.
You didn't? Okay, yeah. Now there's all these like little a Taco Tuesday for Tinder kind of thing. It's successful swipe every Wednesday.
I mean, your rhyme scheme is terrible. You should have saved that for a Sunday, but I see what you're going for, right? Tinder.
The reason why it has to be on Wednesday is because he's trying to find a date for the weekend. So I guess what you're supposed to do is just swipe everything to the right. You're not even supposed to think about it. Just say yes, 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 yes. So you can have a successful swipe.
Okay.
He goes, surprisingly awesome date. He had a great time. Way better looking than our pictures. Whoever says that?
That's not Ryan. I know you mean it as a compliment, bud, but that's not. It's not great. It's not coming off the way you intended to. It's just not.
But, you know, who does that?
It's a brilliant strategy. strategy.
Is it?
I think so.
Aren't you supposed to somehow get in the door?
I know, but if you liked that slightly unflattering picture of me, and I know that in real life I can step it up, like, you can be blown away, baby. That's great.
On the back end, you're completely right, but you may have way less dates on the front end.
I feel like women on the internet are not struggling with
you
attention.
You are making a lot of sense. They always ask, like, what could have possibly gone wrong? And Ryan says, the bar was really low. I mean, I wasn't hoping for all that much. Everything went great. And they're like, okay, well, it's plenty good enough. Here we go.
Uh-oh. Is Ryan just not self-aware? Is Leanne going to come in with some truths?
I guess we're going to have to find out. We're going to find out is we're going to have Babo use her acting chops and play Leanne, and I will play Ryan. Leanne has kind of a southern draw.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So you get to go right with that. The paper's right behind you.
Oh, shoot. Let's take a look.
We are prepared. Right. You are L and I am R.
All right, I'm gonna take some artistic liberties with this southern drawl.
You know what? Ryan sounds a lot like me, so I'm gonna take some artistic liberties and make him not sound like me.
Are you gonna go like surfer dude?
He's in Texas, but he sounded just like Lex. I don't know what to say.
He's a Texas transplant. Yeah, let's give him backstories.
Right, let's really figure out where he's coming from.
I remember Ryan, but I didn't think it was a great date. In the middle of the date, Ryan said, "You need to calm down." And it turned me off, and I was done after that.
Bob, remember that festival we went to? Well, this is like, we're like not 10 dates in.
This is very early on.
This is
very early on.
I didn't tell you to calm down.
No.
But the carny did. And I totally backed him up because I loved this guy on the clear blue, like, hey, calm down.
I was playing my favorite scam game where you throw darts at the balloon, and I was getting a little frustrated about the scam because it wasn't working in my favor, and he told me to calm down. Oh my god,
like, we didn't do it again because of that. Like, he's totally losing. But I thought it was hysterical. Who would tell someone to calm down?
I think you won me a little stuffed penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then they kind of asked Leanne, was that a serious tone?
Oh, absolutely. There was a TV show about an Uber driver that got ripped off. I used to drive Uber and felt for this Uber driver and got upset and got into it. And that's when Ryan says, "You just really need to calm down." And I just kind of checked out after that. For me, if I'm passionate about something and I've had some experience in it, and you can't handle that on a first date, then we're probably not going to need another one.
What do you think? What do you think right now?
Absolutely. Okay. I love other people's passions. I love people who get passionate about things.
1,000% do.
I don't need someone to agree with those passions. Like, if Ryan does not feel the same way,
totally,
that's fine. But sure, she is right. It's probably not going to work.
This is one thing in the middle of a date, though. You know what I mean?
That's fair. First date.
Maybe we'll find out later on that she heard it the whole day, like, calm down about this, calm down about that. That would be daggers for sure. But just that one thing. I remember that I would talk to some people that were going on a lot of first dates, and they would keep like a timer next to them that they would say, in 20 minutes, if I don't want to be here anymore, I'm just going to leave. Like, oh my God, you aren't giving anyone the benefit of the doubt.
That's a little extreme. I will say, caveat to this specific scenario, there's a big difference between, like, ice fishing is my passion and you need to listen to me talk about ice fishing.
Okay.
And then someone being like, well, you could like calm down a little bit about ice fishing. Like, that's going to sting, talking about your passion. But she's talking about something that sounds like it's about being compassionate for somebody else, for being able to put yourself in their shoes. Like, she's not passionate about a hobby. She's passionate about somebody who got ripped off.
Yeah.
In which she could envision herself in that scenario.
Totally. Oh, I'm so fine with
her. So, like, talking about staying open on first dates, absolutely.
Absolutely.
There's definitely a balance there. This one is not exactly exactly that. There should be leeway, but I can see how this would be like, this is similar to somebody like not thanking the waiter or not like tipping at the end, being like, oh, you just might not be that nice of a person.
It is a red flag for sure. So Ryan is brought into the convo. So, and then he heard what she had to say.
I didn't think it was that big of a deal. She was getting really loud. People were giving us looks, so I wanted her to just chill out, you know, calm down a little bit.
On a first date, if I'm too loud for being passionate about something, then the date probably isn't gonna need to go anywhere else.
I like that you're passionate and excited, but there's other people eating here. But you were getting like really loud. I wanted to politely let you know.
You need to calm down is not polite.
Jeez.
You don't tell women ever that they need to calm down.
Okay. What would you do? Okay. You're in a restaurant and the person across from you is bothering other people and being louder than it's normal to be in stores. What would you say?
First of all, I wasn't bothering anybody. Nobody was staring.
They were staring behind you. You just couldn't see it.
Mysterious people that I couldn't see. That's a little ridiculous.
What? What do you want me to say? You were bothering people. We all need a reminder sometimes that we're in a public place.
Actually, no. I don't need anyone to remind me to calm me down.
Sue me. I like you.
Despite not being able to control your temper in public, I do enjoy your company, Leanne.
You think me talking about a TV show is a temper? Then we really don't need a second date.
So hey, I think we're getting off track a little bit here. The host kind of says, Ryan's whole goal is to see if after a great first date.
It wasn't a great first date. He told me to calm down.
Well, Leanne, if you still want to go out with Ryan, we'll pick up the tab for you two for a date number two. Do you have any interest in going on a second date with Ryan?
I'm not going to lie. I'm so hot for Ryan right now. Yes, let's do a second date.
Oh, hell yes, Leanne. I'm totally down. I don't know what you're doing today, but I'm off. No work. I'd love to see you like now.
Just text me. We'll figure out a place to meet up.
Are you two serious?
Are they? What's happening? If he's down, I'm down right now.
Well, then hang up the phone and we'll start getting texted right now. We're going to let you two go. We're going to call this a success. Enjoy your afternoon. Okay, got to go. Did that just happen?
Is this for real? Is that really what happened?
This is 100% real. Now, I've listened to many of these. They do not turn out like this.
No.
I'm not picking the only one and you could say to yourself like, oh, well, this would never happen. You know, this.
That's insanity.
I just want to say, I was right.
What?
He said one thing, you know, you turned him off completely.
Uh-huh.
And then you just heard his voice again and you are back in.
Is it because he said that he liked her? No, she even said it was a bad date.
I think it was. Yeah. I think that's literally it, that he actually showed his feelings. I don't realize that is such a big deal sometimes because for me personally, actions speak way louder than words.
Yeah.
When somebody does something for me, it means so much more than them saying it. Sometimes just the opposite. If I don't say the thing, but I'm showing it in 1,000 different ways. If I bought you a pink castle, they'd be like, oh, he doesn't like me. Like, I just bought you a pink castle. Not that money is love or anything like that.
Sure.
It was just the first thing that came to my head.
Here's the skeptic in me.
Yeah.
Is there a teeny tiny possibility? Because they were getting worked up and you said that that's what happened for real in the call. They came to a bit of a pitch. Is there a possibility that she's like, this is embarrassing. Other people are listening to this happen. I will say yes if this ends this call right now.
That's awesome. That politeness wins again. in this moment. Politeness is what got him into this pickle, and politeness is what's going to get him out.
I guess she could just hang up at any time, but...
Right. Yeah, you never know.
Now she's going to get painted as the...
But this is that goes with dating forever and ever and ever. Anytime you ask somebody out, the chances of them coming out on a first date especially, flaky. So she could totally be flaky, and it doesn't have to be because she was trying to swindle him in this moment, but it still could happen. As always, you skeptic. I love you so much.
He tells her to calm down. She hates it. He still likes her. And she's like, okay.
So you ready for the story about dreams coming true?
Is it about Ryan? Because that's a dream come true.
No guts. No glory. Gonna tell us a story. So, Bob, people have outlandish, one-in-a-million-chance type dreams. To have a painting in the Louvre, or to sing at Carnegie Hall, or to play one-on-one versus their favorite basketball player, no one ever talks about what happens after the dream initially comes true.
Mm-hmm.
So your painting goes to the Louvre, but what are you going to paint? Mm-hmm. You get to sing at Carnegie Hall, poof! Your wish is granted, but wait, what are you going to sing? How are you going to be received? Is LeBron going to beat you by 100 points? Like, how does that actually look? Last week, all over the news, Michael Block got his wish granted. He was in a PGA championship game. It turned into a fairy tale. There are people that could care less about golf, but they come out in droves to support him and cheer him on.
Aww.
It's pretty crazy. This guy is 46 years old.
Okay.
He's a golf club pro. He's not a golf pro. He's a golf club pro. He's in California. He's the head golf club pro at some like golf course. He does lessons.
Okay, got it.
There's 29,000 golf club pros in the United States.
Oh,
you know,
when
you go to Dick's Sporting Goods, I don't know what you guys have by you, but we have tons of the sporting place, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Uh-huh.
There will be a golf pro in there trying to sell you clubs.
Oh,
you know, all you need to do, just like any professional, which is great, all you need to do is be paid to do it once and you are a pro.
Oh, wow. You know? Okay.
Now,
okay.
Granted, a golf club pro, I'm sure, has to jump through some hoops in order to become one. So he gets like $150 an hour to teach somebody how to play golf. So he's good at his job.
Okay.
He's the head guy over in California. He has two teenage sons. One time he was playing golf and he was about to hit a big putt in. This is years ago.
Okay.
He talks to his caddy and he just goes, why not? You know, why can't it be me? And his caddy loved that so much that the people that get the golf balls ready for him, it's printed why not on every golf ball that he has now. That is kind of his mantra for life. He was kind of saying, if you put in the hard work, why can't it be you? There's nothing saying it can't.
That's
nice. Because he's a pro, he does try out for major golf tournaments all the time.
Okay.
To get in the PGA championship is one of the four majors to get into, and it's the one that's for pros like himself, which is so perfect. To get in, you have to either do one of two things. One, be a winner of the PGA.
Okay.
So if you can't get in, you can't be a winner. Like, there's just no way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's a self-fulfilling.
Right. The other one is to get an exemption, which is essentially an invitation. Like, you don't have to jump through all the hoops. We're just gonna call you in. You know, there's 156 players that get to the PGA championship, and there's 20 exemptions. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Block got the call, and he was gonna be one of the 20 exemptions. He was gonna cry. You could watch this on YouTube. You could watch this anywhere. Him getting this call, and he's freaking out.
Aww.
He thought the guy on the other line was just gonna congratulate him on his past performances or something like that. You know, he's like, oh man, oh, I'm gonna cry. You're gonna make me emotional.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So there's 4 days. For any of these big time tournaments, there's 4 days.
Okay.
Which means four games that you have to play. Every day you play a game.
A different, okay.
And the first 2 days are the kind of those qualifier games.
Oh, you gotta make the cut to stay for the other 2 days.
Got it. Tiger Woods made this kind of famous for everybody to understand because on his first 2 days, he wears black. And on his second 2 days, after he makes the cut, he wears red. And it's Tiger. Like, Tiger never gets cut. So why would he even take the time? But that's still his thing, you know?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah. Is it so we can, like, go back and look at the footage and know where he was doing?
This is, like, small symbol of what he does, you know?
I mean, in sports everywhere, and I guess golf is not exempt, there's superstitions out the wazoo.
That's probably probably what it is. Yes. Block has been in these situations before, and he gets cut all the time. Actually, the 20 exempt guys that were added to the 156, they always get cut.
That stands to reason. It practically always happens. Yeah, yeah.
Until this year.
Oh, he made it to day three.
He made it to day three. He got, do you know what par is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like the bare minimum that you should be able to get on a...
Well, you're looking at a hole. It says par is five, meaning that you should be able to do this in five. If you do it in less, good for you. If you do it in more, hey, you should
not
be
going to win.
Everyone's played mini golf. It's the same thing that happens in mini golf. When it says it's going to take two strokes or three strokes to get there, you need to do it in three. You're expected to.
Okay.
And so he hit it perfect. The par is 70, and he did 70 for the day. Second day, par was 70. He did 70 for the day.
All right.
People just start coming out in droves to support him. They can't believe this is happening. All the pro golfers that have been on the tour forever and ever, they're like, you're one of us now. You know, go get them.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that great?
That's so sweet.
What a fraternity community, you know, coming through for you. You don't always get that.
No. Everybody wants to root for the underdog.
Right. He hears that. He's like, you're going to make me emotional. You start hearing about how emotional he's getting. Like, does this guy cry all the time? And you find out later on, because he brings it up so much, he doesn't cry ever. Like, his kid was born and he did not cry.
And he's like, well done, everyone involved. Gets to play golf. He's like, woo.
And it's so funny. He's so out of his element. He's wearing this like yellow hoodie when he's like golfing.
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
It's a Nike hoodie, but man, it just looks like no pro is doing anything like this.
And Nike's like, we didn't even have to pay for that.
What was really cool is in the third game, he shanked one really bad. Like all of us do. If anyone's ever played golf, you just do it all the time where you hit one into the trees. It's nutsos.
Yeah.
And there's something so perfect about he has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
That he doesn't get in his head about it and still has a really, really great game.
Wow. That's amazing.
He gets 70 on the third day. It's incredible.
Wow. He's the epitome of it's just an honor to be nominated.
Oh my God. he couldn't have said it more because that's what was happening.
So funny.
So yeah, after those first 2 days, he's in the top 76, which is incredible.
Wow.
You know, half of them just get eliminated right away. That means there's a, you know, 50 odd pros that didn't make it that are always on this tour.
Oh,
you know,
good point.
He's beating them out. He's beating everybody out.
Wow.
It's going bonkers. He's on every radio show. He's on the Today Show. They're like, oh, you've been crying? Because everyone knows him for like the guy who cries. Yeah. He goes, I'm not crying now. But this morning when I was in bed, I was crying.
That's crazy. Like, this event is only 4 days long, and to do the media press aspect of it while you're still competing.
I'm
like,
so glad you said that.
That's
because
intense.
Before you compete, after you compete, it's interview, interview, interview. Now what they do, they put AirPods in your ears, and between holes, they'll sometimes interview you, which is nuts.
Good for him, because talk about having to like keep your cool. I could not. There is no way. I'd be like, I'm busy. Leave me alone. Oh my gosh.
The reason why everyone's going nuts about this, especially, is anyone who's ever picked up a golf club is like, that could be me.
That could be me.
I could totally do this. You know, if Dick's Sporting Goods guy is finding a way to get to the, you know, the Masters, get to the pros, you know, that could happen. Everyone has a good game once in a while. You know, when you're bowling and you have like your best game ever, you're like, I can be a pro. I can be a pro.
That is true.
And it is kind of true, because to be a pro in bowling, what do you have to average?
Is it 300?
Right. That's what everyone would think. It's like 300 that they're doing all the time. It's like 200. 200 to be a pro. You probably know somebody who's gotten 200 before.
Absolutely.
I've gotten 200. It's only happened once in my life. But in my back of my head, I'm like, oh, I guess I could... take this pro.
Shout out to my semi-pro uncle who totally nails 200 every time.
Exactly. They start dubbing Michael Block as the Block Party.
Oh, that's adorable.
It's so funny when he's doing all these interviews all the time that he's finding out more about what's going on as it goes, because he's like, you know, oh gosh, I didn't know. Like, they said, right now you're in eighth place. You're just behind like the best player, the second best player in the world. He's like, oh man, really? Oh wow. They said, like, you have points for this Ryder Cup, this other competition way down the line. Because I have, wait, John, can you go back? I have points for the Ryder Cup. Like, I love it. He's just like one of us. He's learning everything on the fly, and he's being so open about it.
Is he getting just absolutely overwhelmed every step of the way?
No. And that's what's really, really cool. Every time someone asks him a question, no matter how many times he's been asked it, he thinks about it and gives his answer at that very moment.
Aww.
It's incredible.
There's a lesson here.
Right. It's how do you feel about where you are right now? He goes, oh, you know, Ryan, that's a great. It's a great point. And Ryan, I know you just got a date with Leanne recently, so, you know, like, it's so cool.
Good luck, Michael.
So Tiger is out, and he's not playing this tournament.
Okay.
The only name that anybody would know right now is this guy named Rory McIlroy.
Okay.
That's all we got these days. He's the third best player right now, but he's the first best player in our hearts right now.
Okay.
And he's at Michael Block Party is getting interviewed, and they say, oh, by the way, how do you feel about being paired up with Rory tomorrow? He's like, what? I am? What? Like, this is how it works. You don't just play by yourself. You get paired with somebody every time.
Oh.
And so, you know, all these guys are being so nice to him when they have to be hooked up with him instead of saying that he's dead weight or something like that. They're not playing with each other. They're just, you know, one guy goes, the other guy goes. And they walk down together, you know. He got to hang out with one of the best players in the game.
Which Rory might not mean much to me, but that means a lot to Michael. He knows who that is.
Now, Block Party doesn't win the PGA Championship. That doesn't happen.
Aww.
But neither does Rory. Some guy named Brooks Koepka does. He's a pro on the tour. And last year, he got 55th place. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air. I mean, I feel bad for Brooks because no one cares that he won.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's
not the story. Only the Block Party is getting the news.
Outshined by a guy who didn't even win.
Right. But it's the last day of the championship. Michael Block isn't doing quite as well. He's kind of falling apart. He's probably not going to get this 70 par at all. You know what I mean? So the 15th hole comes around like any other hole, and he hits one very clean, you know, and everyone cheers. After every drive, everyone cheers every time. That's how it goes.
Because that's the big exciting thing.
Yeah, that's the big exciting thing. So everyone cheers for him, and then they don't stop cheering, and then they start cheering louder, and then Rory McIlroy comes over and hugs him. He's like, what's going on? He sunk a hole in one. This is it. This is what I'm talking about from the very beginning. When your dreams come true, what's going to happen next? If he was just there and he didn't make the cut, that would be great. It would be such a wonderful thing to tell your kids that you did all these wonderful things, you know? But to hang out with like the best of the best, to be actually in the thick of it, to at some point be ahead of like one of the best players, and to get a hole in one.
That's amazing.
His hometown, everyone's at the bar and they're all watching. They're losing it.
Yeah.
You know, his family's there. Everyone's there.
I'd take off work for somebody from my hometown, hang out at the bar, cheer him on.
Later on, that 7-iron, people want to buy it. He got an offer for $30,000 for it. And he said, I'll give you $50,000 if I get to hand it to you personally.
Sold! Why? Who even stops to think about that? That's crazy. Mikey, baby, you might not be in the limelight for long. Soak it up and pass it on, sweetheart.
The pinch penny that you are is thinking ahead. I love you so much. Can I say it again?
Yeah.
We're going to be set for retirement because there's no way that you're not selling this club.
Like, no offense, Michael. You might not be back next year, and that's fine. Let's capitalize off of this moment. You could get a new one.
He gets congratulated by everyone that walks by.
Rightfully so.
It's insane. He's got texts galore. He says he's got like 150 texts, and he doesn't even know half the people. So his phone number somehow got out.
Oh, geez.
You know what I mean? He's got emails like crazy. He doesn't even want to go home and deal with it because it's going to be just maddening. He finishes out the game. He gets 15th place, which is really great. Out of 156 guys,
that's 15th place. Really good.
He makes $288,000.
Oh, dang.
It's $150 for him per hour, you know, to do a lesson.
Yeah.
That would be 1,900 lessons in order to get his, you know, $280,000.
That's amazing.
And so somebody tells him, like, there's somebody really important that texted you. You should probably get back to them. He's like, I've got like 150 texts. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Who was it?
It was Michael Jordan.
No! What? He's an enthusiastic golfer, right?
Yeah, he's an enthusiast for sure. He's a celebrity among celebrities.
Sure.
And, like, you and I just watched Air, the Michael Jordan story about Nike.
Yes, you know.
And Ben Affleck wanted to talk to Michael Jordan to say, hey, do you want to do... And he was so nervous to talk... Ben Affleck was nervous to talk to another celebrity because he's another echelon. He's okay. Another tier up. He's not just the best basketball player. He's like the best athlete.
He's a long-term legendary... Right, still walking among us.
And because, you know, Block Party is just so relaxed and no big deal and crying half the time, whatever. He asks Mike, can we go play around or whatever? Mike said, sure, you know, whatever. Like, I'm so super jealous.
That's so sweet.
The cherry on the top is that he's invited again to the PGA Championship in 2024. He's already in.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. He's already been invited to a bunch of other golf tournaments. And Bob, he's like the nicest guy.
Aw, yeah. I love to hear that. That's what I'm looking for.
Totally.
I understand that in individual sports like golf or tennis or, you know, that kind of thing, that the cutthroat competitive nature.
Of course.
I can see the allure of that. I can see how a fan might like to see that in the athlete that they're backing.
Totally.
But man, a little humble sincerity is just a palate cleanser right now. That sounds so nice.
Right. You know, he talks about, and this is so nice, and we need to hear this from everybody that gets to have this moment. You know, what do you say to everyone else that wants to follow their dreams? You're 46 years old.
Yeah.
What do you say to that? He doesn't sugarcoat it like a lot of people do, like, follow your dreams. You could be just like me.
Never stop.
Right. He goes, follow your dreams. You might not get here, but when you grow old, you'll say you did everything you could. You have no regrets. Aww. It's very, very nice.
That's very nice. That's very grounded.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. Block Party.
Before we get to the pop quiz question, please go to my Patreon page, The Cookie Crew. For extras from this podcast and many others, and sneak peeks into my music at Alexi Music, AlexiMuzic. Sign up for my email list so we could chat. Hey, sign up for my email list. You know
do
what
it.
I mean?
Do it.
I love the community that is happening with the email list. It's making me so happy. People are coming out of the woodwork and contacting me about everything.
I just
had this email more about like my height and stuff like that or whatever. And everyone like, I'm really tall. I'm really short. And they give me their like entire story about it. It's very, very nice. I like it a lot.
Yeah. You're not Michael Block. You have time to check your emails.
Michael Jordan, if you want to sign up for my email list, you sure can.
We can go play golf together.
I love your recommendations for jingles and songs and what to watch next. And YouTube's too, buddy. You know, I've been watching a lot of YouTubes. You pointed out a YouTube to me that we're going to talk about after this.
Oh.
After we're done talking on this show, we are still going to be talking.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
We're going to talk about modern, postmodern movies and meta movies. Ooh, meta movies.
Yes, I'm so stoked, man.
Okay, sorry. Okay, let's get to that pop quiz question. People have been talking a lot about, in a real way, about mortality. That, you know, we might be immortals or whatever. And I don't want to go into any kind of like, should we, shouldn't we, Jurassic Park. That's not the way I want to go. What if technology advanced to the point where immortality became a reality? What would you do with yourself? Forget about the first 100 years.
Ugh.
Okay, wait. I don't take that. Take that foul taste out of your mouth right now.
Tui.
Let's pretend you have the same physicality that you do right now at 100, and you get it for the next 100 years.
Okay.
What you gonna do, buddy? What are you gonna do with this extra amount of life? We're not gonna be an immortal. We're just gonna be a quick 200 years, not a quick 100 years.
You're asterisking your question, and we're not gonna discuss immortality so much as just straight up, what do you do with yourself?
Sure.
Oh, do you remember watching The Good Place?
Yeah, and absolutely. Like, and guys, it's a great show. You should totally watch
it. Great show.
Everyone listening to this podcast should watch The Good Place.
And I will make this comparison without too many spoilers, even though that show's been out for forever. Anyway, one of the characters in the afterlife finds themselves with lots and lots of time. And so they become experts on all kinds of things. They reorganize a whole department. They master woodworking and craftsmanship. They like all these skills that they go through, and like that speaks to me as someone who really likes to pick up hobbies, and even more than trying hobbies, like the next hobby is just as exciting.
What would be the next hobby then? Because that's what people do now. Everyone has hobbies the first 100 years. So you're saying you're going to do more hobbies.
Right.
What are those going to
be? So like right now, one hobby that I'm doing a terrible job in is gardening. Like I would, like if I had way more time, way better at that. And then like maybe the next thing would be like giant metal sculptures.
Yeah.
Like I want to like weld sheets of metal together and build like some funky
art installation.
Exactly. That's as, you know, as tall as a 3-story building. Like, that would be awesome.
Oh, I thought it was going to be woodworking, metals. Nice.
Because the welding, doesn't that sound awesome? Like, oh, love it. Maybe it'll be mixed materials. We'll get a little woodworking.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, got the time.
And then also archery.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be deeply. Do you want me to keep going? Is 100 years going to be enough?
For archery and welding and gardening?
And gardening,
yes.
Yeah. That's three things. I feel like one person could spend one lifetime focused on just one of those
Absolutely. Even though like the first 20 years of your life, you're just getting into your own, you know? So
wasted.
I always said if I had a different career path, it would be to be a chocolatier. You know what I mean? But beyond that.
What?
You never heard that before?
No, that's amazing.
I say that all the time to myself.
You would be so good at
You're
that.
You're the best. This goes along with that moment that I was at a chocolate place and people were talking about the chocolates as pieces, like they were art.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, that's not what I want to talk about.
We got to talk about this later.
But I think about Interview with a Vampire.
Okay.
And, you know, Brad Pitt, later on in life, he's like 400 years old.
Oh, geez,
you know?
Yeah.
And part of it has to be just so boring for him. Mm. But there's another part that it's the same terrain. You could only go to like Greece so many times. But it's a totally different thing because the people are different and the technology is different and how the community evolves is different.
That's
to
so
be
true.
Able to be there for all the times and to see how it changes, to be that kind of weather vane for the world, you know, not that anyone's going to like listen to me, but I'm going to at least be able to like make that history book, you know, that precise history book where somebody says, it actually wasn't a big deal back in the day. I'm going to be like, it was a big deal.
You're like, let me get on my journal.
Right.
I'll tell you exactly
how it was. I literally
was
there. And I'll tell you all about it.
So there's like a trope that as people get older, they're all like, well, back in my day, it was blah, blah, blah. Do you think vampires just have that mentality to like the nth degree? They're like, well, in the 17th century, we didn't put up with this kind of crap.
I hope their memories are so good that when a vampire is talking to another vampire, like two people that are having a really good argument, they don't say like, well, you trashed my living room last week. A really good argument between two people. Would be like, you trashed my living room last week. He goes, yes, I did trash your living room, but it was because I did it for this reason. They don't say, I didn't do that. They don't deny. They both have really good memories about it. So they wouldn't say, well, in my day in the 17th century, they'd say, oh, do you remember in the 17th century when I did this? Yes, I do. Well, then this and this and this. Oh, yes. That's what I hope for.
I love the implication that a vampire inherently has a good memory.
Yes.
Because if I was a vampire, like as is, only different is that I'm a vampire. Like, my memory's not terrible, but it's not great.
There's no deterioration. I feel like the reason why we have bad memories is because we're fading all the time. We've been dying since we were 21 years old.
Okay.
Have you heard that before?
I don't need this. You're just trying to sell me on robot immortality. Boo on you.
So that's why I want to sell you on this pyramid scheme for robot immortality.
Back in my day, we just didn't have robot immortality like you youths do now.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Where?
On Earbender.